Hey guys, how you doing? It's Mark here from 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and I hope you're doing great, and I want to welcome you to my second podcast aimed at over 30s men. I just want to say a big thanks to everyone for listening to the first one. It's up on iTunes now. It's had some great reviews, lots of good ratings, and like I said, I'm just really grateful, guys. You know, when I did my first podcast, basically explained to you guys that my goal is just to basically reach out and help as many over 30s men globally using my health and fitness methods and show them that they don't have to accept that, you know, their best days are behind them. And actually they can feel fitter and healthier and have more energy to run around with their kids and fit into their old shirts and jeans and generally feel good. Now, that's how we should feel, even though life is hectic. But before I go off on one, guys, first off, I'm going to tell you about the subject of this podcast. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to try and keep it to 30 to 35 minutes, which reminds me, I've just set my timer. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit of stuff that's happened to me in the last week before we get going. Also got some question and answers, okay, today. So the subject today, guys, is going to be our training method. So a lot of you guys might follow their page, might get my emails, but I've never come to one of my boot camps or invested in an online program. I'm going to tell you about our methods and how they work, why they work, and why they will suit you as a busy over 30s man. I'm going to talk about where we start and where we progress to, and why I really believe that 30 Plus Men's Fitness has got everything covered for you. How I stumbled upon, how I came to create my own sort of signature training methods for 30 Plus, and how I think they can benefit you. So I'm going to talk about that, guys, okay? So I'm hoping that interests you. But first off, before we get going, I want to tell you about the week I've had. If obviously a lot of you guys are my members, you're listening to this, a lot of you guys follow my Facebook page, get my emails, you will know that I have recently become a dad again. Myself and my partner Sarah went into hospital last Friday. We had an elected C-section because our first son was a little bit traumatic. I'll talk about that in a sec. But we went in, and a couple of hours later, we had our second child, and that's another son called Elliot, and he was born about 12:48 p.m. on Friday the 17th of January. He weighed 8.3 pounds, so he's a little bit heavier than my first son, John, and he is absolutely amazing. I've got to be honest with you guys, myself and my partner, Sarah, we made no bones about it. We really wanted a second son. We wanted a boy initially. We got a boy, and we just sort of said every day we'd love to have another son as a brother for John, because John's only 17 months, so we've had him fast, and they're going to be similar age. And I just had this whole sort of vision, this sort of fairy tale in my mind of me sort of kicking a football around with my kids. And I know I could have got that with a girl. And, you know, I honestly did think it was a girl this time because my missus was a lot neater. And even when we went down for the section, I was looking at her stomach and I thought, it's definitely a girl. And, you know, if it had been a girl, I would have been over the moon and I'd got my head on it. I would have gone out and bought a shotgun, obviously, but I got my head around everything. But then all of a sudden, you know, Elliot is breaching, so they're pulling him out and his legs first. And, you know, I could just see his backside. I just took a little look over. I thought, yep, it's definitely a boy. And I just couldn't believe it. So we were absolutely over the moon, delighted that John's got a little brother. What else can I say, really, apart from this birth was completely different to the first one. And actually, the subsequent week now, because he's just under 7 days old, has been completely different to our first time with John. We went for a natural birth or natural labour, and it just wasn't happening. Ended up emergency C-section. And then we had what everybody dreads is our son. He was basically whipped away from us within seconds of being born. Didn't get a chance to hold him. Oxygen mask on. He'd swallowed meconium, which is basically their own faeces. So his lungs were clogged up. And he subsequently spent a month in neonatal. So, you know, we come into the end of that pregnancy or the C-section, you think, right, you're going to get your child and everything's great. And you don't. And what followed was basically a month of hell, living in a hospital, not knowing if our son was going to survive. You know, it's pretty critical. But, you know, without dwelling on that too much, he came home and he was well. He's well now and he's an amazing little boy. But what we didn't get was that initial kind of just amazing feeling when you become a parent, you know, when the baby gets handed to the mother and you all bond and, you know, your family come in and everything's really calm. We didn't get that. We just had stress. And even when we brought him home, because he had, you know, a breathing problem, we're first time parents. And, you know, you can imagine that's hard anyway. But when you're checking that your kid's breathing okay and is, you know, he's not breathing too fast, we just had all that. And it was just crazy. And I mean, it's just completely different now. Elliot is just so calm. He barely makes a sound. He's just so, so relaxed. So I think that John's definitely takes after me because he's so lively. And Elliot's definitely taken after his mum because his mum is very kind of chilled and just kind of laid back. So it's a good mix. And honestly, guys, I just can't tell you. It was a really tough pregnancy for my partner. Her hormones were all over the place. I'm probably taking a bit of a risk here by talking about this, but she doesn't really listen to my stuff. But if she does, to be honest, she's back to normal now. And she has admitted to me that she went a bit crazy during this pregnancy. In actual fact, at times, guys, I thought she was almost possessed because she went, yes, a bit scary. So I had to develop some broad shoulders and learn to keep my mouth shut, especially the last couple of months. But we've got a beautiful son, and you know, my partner Sarah is doing wonderful. So it's all really happy times. I'm over the moon. Two kids waking up at different times of the night, that's a bit of a game changer. Hasn't really hit me yet because I've had a week away from coaching. I've got some great staff and they've been taking care of things. So can kind of go back for the cheeky power naps in the day, which is, I always say, I love a power nap. So I built my business with hard work and power naps, but they're few and far between these days, apart from this week. Not feeling it too bad, but when I get back into coaching and one-to-one personal training next week, maybe I'll be thinking a little bit different, but I wouldn't change a thing. I got two healthy boys. There's just not much more you can ask for in life. My partner is going to be 40 in February, so we're done and dusted. I'm 35, so I'm a bit of a toy boy, lads. I'm 35, I'm done, you know, tie a knot in it, put a fork in me, I'm definitely done. I'm happy with my two boys, and hopefully we can just enjoy them. So that's my news, guys. All right, now before we get into the subject of tonight, what I just recently did is I sent out an email to my email list just saying, you know, got my next podcast coming up. Is there any way I can help you? Any questions you want answered? And so I've had a couple here, which I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer one now. And that's from my man, Ray. Ray Paez is a great online client of mine. He's over in Wisconsin in the States. And even though he's had great results with my plans and totally trusts it, as always, he's getting questioned by his family. I think it's his mother or his mother-in-law about the whole saturated fat thing. And, you know, can I give him some information as to why actually saturated fat is good for us? And, you know, it's funny because I put something about saturated fat on the Facebook page the other day. And somebody was like, oh, yeah, saturated fat, you know. And I was like, well, yeah, actually, it is quite good. I could talk about saturated fat and cholesterol for a whole 35 to 40 minutes, but that's for another blog. I don't want to get into too heavy. I realize some of you guys are probably just listening to me for the first time. But what I will say is, okay, the whole saturated fat thing, there was a study done in the early 70s where I think there was about 20 different countries were studied. And they came out with this whole thing that a high fat diet, a saturated fat diet, is very, very bad for health and can lead to heart disease and all other problems. But actually, there were so many factors that weren't considered, like, you know, how much did these people smoke? What was their sugar intake? How much exercise did they do? It was completely flawed. And all you got to do, actually, guys, is just go on the internet and you type in saturated fat myth or saturated fat studies. The information is there. But you see, the problem is this kind of stuff gets filtered out into the public and we just take it as gospel. We don't question anything. You see, we watch the TV, we take advice of our doctors who, you know, are probably, I don't want to be too critical here, but, you know, their information probably isn't as advanced in terms of the saturated fat thing as it should be, because there are a lot of doctors coming round now and understanding that not all sat fat is bad. But we just take everything as gospel. It's like, you know, you look at the television adverts advertising cereal. I would say now that it's pretty much out there that cereal is no good. But unfortunately, you know, the food industry, which is selling this kind of stuff, it doesn't pay any attention to health. It's just trying to sell its products. So if it tells you it's healthy, You just buy it because it says it on the box. What I will say is question everything. Look a little bit deeper. The information is out there. With regards to saturated fat, you know, it has many, many benefits, okay? For a start, without fat in your diet and saturated fat, you wouldn't be able to absorb certain vitamins, soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. That's pretty important vitamins to that we need basically in our diet, and we need those types of fats. So when we're talking about fat, what you've got to remember is not all fat makes you fat. It's sugar that is a real enemy. And again, I will do a podcast on sugar and tell you just how, well, sugar is toxic, basically. Again, you go onto YouTube and just type in sugar is toxic. You can watch, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours worth of films with doctors and scientists telling you just exactly about sugar, okay, guys? So look, without getting too much into it, saturated fat has many benefits, okay? Like I said, the first one there is being able to absorb all these soluble vitamins. And I've recently just posted an article on my Facebook page, and I will include the link in this podcast, okay, at the end, for you to take a look at it. But what I will say, things like cholesterol, things like saturated fat, you know, we need those types of fats in our diets. Yes, you can eat bacon. Yes, you can eat eggs. Yes, you can eat real butter. It's all natural produce. As long as you're getting good quality, you know, I always recommend organic butter, Kerrygold here for my followers in the UK, from Irish cows. Apparently they're grass fed. You know, good quality bacon, good quality eggs, free range. You're not going to go wrong. And if it comes from Mother Nature, I just really want you to think about that. Is it designed to harm you? Is it really? If it comes from, you know, if eggs come from a hen or a chicken, are they designed to harm you? You know, good quality meat, good quality beef from a grass-fed cow, you know, good quality butter from a grass-fed cow, is that designed to harm you? You know, where does that come from? It comes from Mother Nature, right? So how can it be bad? How can, you know, nuts and seeds, you know, which are very high in fat, be bad for you, you know, because they're high in calories and high in fat? They're not, you know, they come from the ground. It's real produce. You know, Mother Nature never really intended to harm us, okay, guys? So think about it like that. And, you know, when you see these healthy cereal brands, well, where did cereal come from? Was it grown on a tree? You know, did it come from the sea, from the ground? It wasn't, you know, it was manufactured. It was manufactured and pumped full of additives and preservatives, you know, to keep it tasting nice for us. We call that toxins. The body can't recognize it. And unfortunately, it dumps it in the fat cells. So try not to get, you know, too sort of swept up in what is generally gospel. You know, eggs are not going to clog up your arteries, okay? Eggs are absolutely fantastic. You could eat 20 eggs a day and it would have no effect on your cholesterol levels, because we actually produce our own cholesterol. You know, cholesterol is pretty amazing. Without cholesterol in our diet, we'd be in quite a lot of trouble. If we didn't produce cholesterol, we'd be in quite a lot of trouble. You know, cholesterol fuels our brain, for one. Okay, that's pretty important. Now, you know, I've already spoke here for almost 12 minutes. And I don't want to go off on one. But what I will say to you is, right, if people say to you, you know, eggs are bad, well, just go onto the internet and you will find so many reports and studies and information with good quotes and which will tell you that they're not. If you go into the internet and type in saturated fat myth, you know, the information is out there. Yes, you can get all kinds of conflicting information on the internet. I understand that. But the information is out there. You've just got to go out there and seek it. But it's like I said to you, unfortunately, we just take everything as gospel. You know, we take everything as gospel that toast and cereal for breakfast is good, and you shouldn't eat bacon and eggs because it's bad for you, and you shouldn't eat butter because it's bad for you. And you know that there's all these stores peddling this low fat spread, this low fat margarine. I mean, that stuff's virtually plastic. You know, you could leave that kind of stuff outside, not even the insects are going to go near it, you know. I mean, and you know, it's not our fault. It's not our fault at all that that we believe this stuff, because 8 years ago, before I became a trainer, before I started to research nutrition and, you know, spend lots of money to go on courses, I was the same. I was Mr. Low Fat Spread. I was Mr. Corn Flakes. I was Mr. Toast for breakfast and an orange juice, you know, because it was the staple westernized breakfast. And we think that's healthy. And, you know, basically I was overweight. I was depressed and I was running myself to death, flogging myself, trying to, you know, lose weight, and I wasn't getting there. And I was, well, why is this? And, you know, and now, you know, I eat a high fat breakfast and I feel completely, you know, in control of myself. I feel leaner, fitter, brighter, healthier, more mental clarity, my concentration, mood, it's all improved. So, you know, do not take everything as gospel. The information is out there, guys. All right. So, now, I can really rattle on about this kind of stuff, but like I said, it's a thing for another podcast. So, look, we're on about 13 minutes. I want to try and talk for 35 to 40. I'm not going to find that hard. Let's get into the subject of today, guys. I want to talk about our training methods, and why I think they're perfect for you, for the busy over 30s man, and how I came about sort of creating them, and where we start and what we progress to. Okay, so you know, I've often said in the past, I call my methods the 30 plus formula. Now, how did I initially come up with our sort of exercise routines or our workout protocols? So if I just take you back a little bit before I became a trainer, like I was just talking about then, I didn't really understand nutrition, but I used to flog myself a lot running. You know, I think the thing is when people think about losing weight, the first thing they think about is going on a diet or running. Well, you don't have to do either, all right? We'll talk more and more about sort of nutrition in a third or fourth podcast, because today I want to keep it about the train. I did actually give you some good nutrition nuggets in the first one, so just check that out. Okay, so I was a runner. Okay, how did I get into that? Well, as a kid, I was very chubby in school. I love my food. I'm going to put my hands up, and I think it's why a lot of the guys relate to me, because in my plans, you can eat man-sized portions. If you eat the right things, you're not going to gain fat, okay? So I just love food. You know, I was a big bread eater, loved my cereals and things like that. And I was a little bit chubby when I was in school. And I was one of those kids that I hated sports day, because every time sports day come around, it'd be the 100 bloody meters and I'd be last. I hated it. I just had no speed, couldn't run quickly, wasn't quick off the mark, and hated it. Anyway, things changed when I went to secondary school. My first day of PE, the games master said, right guys, today you're going to do a cross country run. And I was, oh, so what's that? Well, it's basically a 3 or 4 mile run around a local trail, up a hill, etc., etc. So of course, this PE teacher's leading us off, and there's me, Tregsy, thinking, right, I'm going to be last. Anyway, what happened was, is all the kids, all the normal kids, they sprinted off, and I'm there just sort of jogging already at a puff. But what happened was, is after about a minute, all these kids started to slow down, and they were just like hanging out of their ass. And I was like, well, hang on a sec, you know, this is 4 miles here, I'm just going to keep jogging and see how I go on. Well, before I knew it, and you know, bearing in mind I was quite chubby at the time, I was out in front, and I was finding it really, really easy. And I ended up, you know, actually coming in first, and I just couldn't believe it. I could run and run and run. And it just turns out that genetically, I was quite a gifted long distance runner. I mean, we can talk about genetics again, but again, that could be a subject for another podcast. I mean, genetics does predetermine your ability to build muscle, or whether you're fast or whether you're slow, or you know, whether you're good over long distances. You know, you could put two people on the same nutrition plan, the same training plan, and they would get different results. That's because their genetic makeup is different. Doesn't say that if you're not fast, you can't work at getting fast. There's different types of training you can do, of course, to help you get fast or build endurance. But what I'm saying is, even without any real long distance running training, I was just a natural at long distance running, even overweight. So of course, because I found that, I clung on to it and I thought to myself, right, okay, I'm a good runner here, so let's get into this. And as a young lad, you know, 12, 13, then going into my late teens, I used running as a vehicle for fat loss. And it worked because, you know, at that time, I didn't drink beer. I didn't eat curries or lots of pizzas. And I was a young lad. And so my metabolism was sky high. And I just started to do long distance running. And I got pretty bloody good at it. I ended up competing for the county. I was district champion. I think I was second in the county. And I started to compete for the county all over the country, you know, for cross country and 1500 meters. And I was really good. And I got very, very slim. And I just grew to love running. You know, I could run for 10, 15 miles, have my Walkman in at the time, and I just loved it. I just absolutely loved it. But then guess what happened is when I got to university, I discovered women drinking, eating basically takeaways every evening, and my weight started to go up, okay? And so I thought to myself, okay, no worries, I know what to do. I'll try and combat this. And so I tried to combat it with running. But you see, by then, running wasn't helping me with my weight loss. You know, I was now into my sort of late teens, early 20s. And like I said to you, you know, I was going out, I was having a few beers quite often because that's what you do in uni. And the running was just not cutting it. And instead, what would happen is I was picking up injuries because I was putting on weight. I was getting heavy. I was picking up hamstring strains. My lower back used to tighten up. My calves would tighten up. And this led to, you know, real frustration, okay? So what I would then do is, you know, to try and run, when I could patch myself up and go running, I'd wear a bin bag. I'd wear a bin bag underneath my stuff because I'd heard about it at a boxing gym. Makes you burn more fat. Well, actually, it doesn't. Just makes you lose more water. So I was dehydrating myself, essentially. So I used to get into that, you know, because I thought, well, if I sweat more, I'll lose more weight. So I used to wear a bin bag every morning. I used to go through so many bloody bin bags. I look back now and I laugh. I mean, don't get me wrong. wrong if you're a boxer trying to make weight. Yeah, it's a quick way to shed some water weight, but you know, you're not going to burn any extra calories wearing a bin bag. And then, as I talked about in my first podcast, you know, this frustration led on to me getting into diet pills because, you know, I was running, not getting the results. So what I decided to do, well, I'd wear a bin bag, and then I got into diet pills because apparently these were going to jack up my metabolism, help me lose weight, help me run for longer. And, you know, as the story goes, I ended up getting anxiety, panic attacks, and subsequent depression. And decided never to ever go near those type of fat loss, weight loss stimulants again. In fact, I'm happy to discuss this and openly tell you that the stimulants I was using was something called ephedrine. Ephedrine, which is now banned. It's banned. I think it was Diego Maradona, the Argentinian football player, he got banned. I think it was the 1994 World Cup. He got banned for taking it. And it is banned now. They won't put it in any fat loss supplements which are over the counter because it's just too dangerous. It really is too dangerous. And I can tell you this, guys, it made me so impatient. My anxiety would just creep upon me. I was driving around with a brown paper bag so I could regulate my breathing if I felt a panic attack coming on. And I never ever want to go back to those days. So this was actually leading up to me deciding enough was enough, fed up of being overweight, fed up of being anxious and depressed, and actually wanting to learn what could work for me, you know. And this is really funny, guys, because around the age of 27, I was quite overweight. I was in a job that I really didn't like, and I hadn't run in a 10K race for bloody years. But I'd met this guy through my old job, and he said to me, he said, "Treggs, there's a 10K race. It's coming up on Saturday. Do you fancy doing it?" And of course, I was overweight. I didn't have any running trainers. And I said, "Oh, you know, I haven't ran in years. I'll give it a blast. I'll give this 10K a blast." So anyway, I turned up. I think I was wearing some like Nike turtle toes or something like that. Didn't even have laces. I had like some grubby old like bin, like, I don't know, like England shell top on. I looked a mess, felt a mess. But it's a beautiful morning back in 2006 in Cardiff, and I ran this 10K. Well, anyway, guess what happened? Overweight Treggsy, hadn't run that far, and hadn't run a 10K competitively in ages. Ended up running it, had a bit of lower back pain, bit of a tight calf, but I got through it. And I ended up probably in the top 50 out of about 700 or 800. And I thought to myself, you know, I just felt great. Even though, you know, I tried to put the running on the back burner because I wasn't really getting anywhere with it. But without me digressing, it was around that course in Bute Park in Cardiff that I just had a eureka moment. I looked up to the sky, the sun was shining, I felt great. And I just said to myself, I'm going to sort myself out once and forever, once and for all. I'm going to find out what works, and I'm going to become a personal trainer. And you know, I'd been lost for years. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do for a living. I used to be a nightclub promoter in my early 20s, and I'd got out of that, and I was just sort of in a sort of job with just a bit of a means to an end. And I was very depressed, very lost. And my partner at the time was probably sick of me. In fact, I know she was sick of me because we ended up splitting up a few years later. But you know, I was just looking for something different, but I never knew what it was. And people would say to me, you know, "Mark, well, what are you going to do? You know, you're not going to do your current job forever. What are you going to do?" And I was like, "Well, I just don't know. I'm just waiting for that eureka moment." And that was it. And I remember going home to my girlfriend. I said, "I'm going to be a personal trainer." And you know, at the time, I was probably about 15 stone. And that was without any doing any weight training or anything like that. No, I didn't look good. I said, "I'm going to be a personal trainer." She was relieved and she backed me because she just wanted me off her back and moaning about how much I hated my life. So she backed me, but then all my friends were like, "Well, you know, Treggs, you know, you should really be fit and in shape for that." I had a couple of friends that tried it, and it didn't really work out for them. But that was it. I got my idea, and I had a job which I was self-employed at the time, and I thought, well, I can study around it, I'm going to fund it, and even if this takes me 2 years, I'm going to do a course, and I'm going to find out what works, what I'm going to get myself in shape, and then I'm going to help some clients. And I come from a marketing background, so I knew I could get clients. I wasn't worried about that advertising myself, but I just wanted to sort myself out. So I enrolled on this course, and you know, 6 months later, you know, I've got all my books, and I'm going down to Bristol to actually, you know, learn how to become a personal trainer. And this is when I actually discovered just basic body weight training and how it could change my shape and actually stop me from having to run miles upon miles upon miles. And I remember we were in the course doing our gym instructor level 2, I think it was. And we were talking about, we were actually doing, oh no, it might have been the level 3 advanced personal training, but we were talking about, you know, and these courses are very much a base. Anyone that does a personal training diploma, you need to then go away and carry on learning. They're just a base to get your insurance, to get your piece of paper. But, you know, I did pick up some nuggets from it. And we were talking about different styles of training. We're talking about resistance training, you know, like advanced resistance training methods, like drop sets, giant sets, and German volume training, things like this. And then we were talking about like interval training and different energy systems. And they started to talk about something called peripheral heart action or peripheral heart training. Now, this is when you basically combine one lower body movement with one upper body movement, and you do it in a continuous flow, like a circuit. So for instance, 10 push-ups where you work your upper body, your chest and your triceps, followed by 10 squats with no rest. Let's say then followed by 10 lat pull-down, which works your back, and let's say then followed by 10 lunges. And I'd never been introduced to this type of training before. You know, I'd gone to the gym in the past and done this whole kind of like split body routine whereby one day you go in and do chest, the next day you go in and do back, the next day you go in and you do shoulders. And like I said to you in the previous podcast, you know, that takes a hell of a lot of commitment. You know, if you've got an hour and a half every night to do that, and you can be committed to go and train every different body part, you know, 5 days a week, especially now when your 30s and over, then, you know, you're probably in the minority. Well, anyway, like I said to you, I'd been to the gym, but never really, you know, focused on training my body as a whole. You know, I just ran and isolated, and I would never really train legs because legs day was on a Friday. And of course, I'd be going out and getting drunk on a Friday. So I looked terrible. I felt terrible. I was picking up injuries. I was bulky up top, no legs. My legs aren't great these days. Just had to get that in because the lads are hammering me. But I just wasn't conditioned. And so, you know, I was looking at this peripheral heart training, and, you know, if there's any personal trainers listening to this, this stuff is like really old hat in the industry. Everyone knows about it. Okay. But for me, it just blew me away. Okay. It just blew me away. And it's just like a light bulb going off in my head, because all of a sudden I could start conditioning my body. You know, I couldn't even do 10 press ups. I couldn't even squat properly, full range of motion. So what right did I have like even going to the gym and trying to use a barbell? So all of a sudden now, I was learning the science behind this peripheral heart action training, peripheral heart training. And basically, here's a little science lesson for you here, guys. If you imagine, right, the heart is a pump, and the job of the heart is to pump the blood and oxygen around the body, okay? So if all of a sudden I do 10 squats, we call it arse to grass, with a good depth, the heart will immediately send blood and oxygen to the working muscles, which are the legs, okay? But then if I follow that up with an upper body movement, i.e. 10 push-ups, okay, the heart then has to work overtime to pump that blood and oxygen back up to the chest, because that's now the working muscles. I then follow that with a set of lunges, and the heart has to pump extra hard to pump the blood back down to the legs, which are now the working muscles. So what happens is this, and I call it my 2-for-1, is that first things first is you're actually conditioning the body, and you're going to develop muscle by, you know, working those muscles. You're breaking down muscle fibers. So, you know, rather than just running, okay, I was actually doing squats to a full range of motion, press ups with my chest to the floor. So I'm actually working my muscles. But secondly, because of this uninterrupted blood flow around the body, okay, it would give me a cardio-like effect. So I started to sort of mess around with these workouts. And, you know, I could do 5 minutes of these upper lower moves, and I would just be absolutely gassing and sweating. And the science behind it is, you know, because you're getting that uninterrupted blood flow upper to lower, upper to lower, upper to lower, it's like you're doing cardio anyway, but you're getting the benefits of conditioning and your body and breaking down muscle fibers. Okay, so I call it a 2-for-1. You're getting the benefits of resistance, but it being a cardio-like workout. So I just went away and played with these. And I'd stop, you know, doing my running and just started to do this kind of thing. And it just blew me away, okay? So, you know, once I learned that and I set up 30 Plus Men's Fitness, this was the road I wanted to go down. I wanted to introduce you guys to single basic body weight conditioning, because I know there's a lot of you guys now that are listening to this that are probably going to the gym. You're probably walking on treadmills. You're probably doing a bit of biceps, doing a bit of chest, doing some sit-ups. I was one of you guys. I was one of you guys, and I was frustrated, and I felt terrible. And this was in my 20s. And now as I'm 35 now with two kids, and I feel magic because I learned the correct way to train. And this is just in its very basic level. So what I did when I set up 30 Plus Men's Fitness is I put together a series of circuits, which I call Bodyweight Basics Part 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they're all progressed, so they get a little bit harder each time. And it's just living and dying by the principle of the peripheral heart action method. Upper to lower, upper to lower. No cardio needed, no pounding the streets forever. And we'll talk about running because I don't want to completely slag off running. There is a place for it at some point in your program. But I just put together these bodyweight workouts and I started to test run them with clients. And they'd be like, "Tregs, how can I get so out of breath just doing that?" And I was like, "Well, tell me, when was the last time you did a set of push-ups? When was the last time you did a set of squats?" You know, and the reply would be never or school. And I'm right, okay. And so I would just be putting like workouts together for 30 seconds, 30 second push-up, 30 second lunge, 30 second squat, 30 second plank. And the reports back were just incredible. Just incredible from guys that were doing nothing to just getting them moving and showing them that, look, if you're 18 stone, 19 stone, you don't have to put a pair of running shoes on and go out and run 5 miles to get your metabolic rate up, to burn calories, to lose fat. You can do this. In actual fact, I would get calls, you know, from people wanting to join my boot camp, from lads running 100 miles a week. And I would say, "Well, why are you running 100 miles a week?" "Well, I want to lose weight." "Well, actually, do you enjoy running?" "Yeah, I do, but I don't really want to do as much." "Okay, well, combine, why don't you half your running and do some of my bodyweight stuff and see how you get on?" And again, the results were just exceptional. And so this is what I introduced into my online plans. So initially, if I get somebody come into my online plan who has done nothing, I get them doing some very, very simple bodyweight training. Squats, push-ups, lunges, planks, all these exercises in the fitness industry are commonly known. They're very, very basic. Yet they are the most ignored by, you know, most guys over the age of 30 that are going to the gym and really unsure of what to do. They, you know, because you go to the gym, it's machines, it's treadmills, it's ellipticals, there's TVs on the bloody wall. You know, it's, you're not going to go there and do bodyweight training, because if you knew how to do bodyweight training, you wouldn't need to go to a bloody gym. So this is what I wanted to show these guys. And this is the basic entry. This is the level one style of workouts in my online programs. And you know, the great thing about this is, guys, right, if you do this properly and gently, but I say gentle because I'm hearing about, and I don't want to name names, but I'm hearing about all these kind of home workout programs that are out there now. And you know what they are. And they just go in and they are hardcore immediately. I mean, I've spoken to thousands of 30 plus men in the last year. I was up in Scotland last year teaching guys in a high security prison. And they're all telling me about the names of these workout plans they're doing in their rooms, in their cells. And they're getting injured because they're talking about jumping around on the first bloody session. You know, you imagine you're 18 stone, you've done nothing in years. And some guy has got you jumping around. I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster. So what I wanted to do was make sure that I give these guys coming into my program some very, very basic conditioning. But not basic in that it's going to insult them. It's just going to help get them fitter and not get them injured and just help them move forward to progress onto something next. And, you know, a lot of these guys will look at my bodyweight basics workouts and just say, "Well, it looks easy." And I say, "Okay, do it and come back to me." And then they come back and they're just gassing and they just can't believe it. And the science behind it is what I've already explained, okay? So if you're thinking about coming into one of my plans, this is how we start: basic bodyweight training. You can take a look at my bodyweight basics workouts on my website, www.30plusmensfitness.com. They're all free. Just go onto the workouts, take a look at it, and they're all there for you guys, okay? Now, then progressing on, and I'm going to try and talk about it. Well, I'm going to try and keep it to another 8 minutes. But then, you know, as I progressed through the years of being a personal trainer, I started to see more and more of the kettlebell. Okay, and eventually, I did a course with a good friend of mine who lives local to me, a guy called Martin, and who's a really excellent kettlebell trainer and very, very cool and good. Cool, I don't know about, very, 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 very good and with the kettlebells. And I went and did a kettlebell course, and I got to be honest, it changed everything for me. It completely changed the game for me. You know, before I was one of those guys that would just look at a kettlebell in the gym and think, "Well, what the hell is that?" And I got to be honest, the majority of the guys that come into my program, I've never heard of a kettlebell. So just quickly, because obviously I can't draw you a picture, you've probably all seen kettlebells. If you haven't, type it into Google or YouTube it and you'll see what they're about. Now, a little bit of a science lesson here, or sorry, a history lesson, is the kettlebell. They're 100 years old, I think over 100 years old in their teachings, and they come from Russia, I believe, although there is something about it coming from Scotland, I'm not entirely sure, but that's what my coach told me. And with kettlebells, they are designed to work the posterior chain. So the posterior chain is the rear of your body, okay, going into your lower back. Those muscles that are pretty ignored, glutes, hams, lower back, okay, because let's face it, what happens when we go to the gym? We're only training our T-shirt muscles, chest, biceps, etc. Now, when I first did my course, you know, Martin, my coach, said to me, he said, I go all over the place, and predominantly in the valleys in Wales. And you've got all these guys that absolutely look the part, you know, they're pumped up, they've been hitting the weights. He said, but they can't even bend down to pick up a kettlebell. Well, how useless is that? You know, you might look good, but actually, can you move? Can you function? You know, what happens if you've got to bend over and pick your kids up and you can't do it? And so what he was saying is that, you know, by using these kettlebells, they iron out kind of any imbalances. They target these ignored muscles in your lower back, in your glutes, in your hams, etc., etc. A lot of people say to me, well, why would I want to target those muscles? I just want to look good in a t-shirt. And it's a great question. And to be honest is, well, yeah, I mean, they do target those muscles, but as well, you're using absolutely bloody everything to move that kettlebell and to keep it under control. The core recruitment is incredible. And because we do a lot of things for time rather than reps, and depending on what weight you're using, your heart rate goes up fast, okay? Very, very fast, and you get to burn a lot of calories. So when I discovered kettlebell training and single kettlebell training, I was pretty much blown away. And then I went away and started to combine my bodyweight methods with my kettlebell methods. And I started to combine some bodyweight and kettlebell workouts. And again, it fitted in perfectly what I was trying to do with 30 plus men's fitness. You don't need to go to a gym. You can invest in a kettlebell as you get fitter, and you know, we can get you working and progressing harder with your bodyweight and a kettlebell. So, you know, the primary moves that I'm showing these guys that are new to my programs after they've been through level one is things like the kettlebell swing, the clean and press, and the kettlebell snatch. Again, you need to go and look at those moves. But all those moves are done getting your body working as a unit, okay? So again, you know, if I get you doing sort of single arm kettlebell snatches or cleans and press, you know, a lot of you guys have got kids, you're picking them up and you're lifting them up over your head, okay, those moves are going to help you in everyday life. You know, you're taking a shopping out of the car and putting it away in the cupboards, those moves are going to help you and get you conditioned for everyday life. You know, you're lifting your kids up and putting them into bunk beds or carrying them around on your shoulders, this is going to really, really help you in everyday life, okay? So then I started to, you know, really get into the kettlebell training. I started to create some signature kettlebell moves. So if you go onto my YouTube channel, youtube.com/30plusmensfitness, you'll see my treble eight workout, which is a famous 30 plus workout, which involves swings, clean, snatches. And I got so many guys that always doing that and posting videos in. That's become quite popular. And again, it just raises the stakes and takes it onto another level. So, you know, you can come into one of my programs, I get you conditioned using your body weight, and then we move on to body weight and a kettlebell, okay? But then what happens after that? What happens if you've come and you've done two of my plans and you've lost a lot of fat and you feel great and you want to go to another level? Well, this is where, you know, I can help you sort of progress onto another level, again, without going into the gym. So just to sort of let you know, I used to be based out of a CrossFit facility, and I'm quite influenced by CrossFit and some of the stuff they do. It's helped me with kind of like the kind of workouts I do, like challenge workouts for time or AMRAPs, which means as many rounds as possible. And so I quite like the way that they put their workouts together, and I took a lot of influence from that. And what I also seen with CrossFit is they do a lot of Olympic stuff with the barbells. Now, because of, you know, I want to help you guys get out of a gym and you guys with little time, that's not really something that, you know, I want to be showing you guys. However, because I know that Olympic barbell stuff is very good for strength and conditioning, and I want to give that to you guys at the highest level, I went back and did my advanced kettlebell course, which involves the use of two kettlebells and teaches you moves like double kettlebell front squats, double kettlebell snatches, double kettlebells clean and presses, etc., push-ups off the bells, you know, rows, etc., etc. And that just took it to a whole new level again. That just completely took it to a whole new level. So by the time you've been through one or two of my plans, we put you in the members area, we start to introduce you to two kettlebells. And that's where, after you've torched some fat and we've got you fit, we start to focus on building some muscle and gaining some strength as well. And I'm telling you now, guys, right, if anyone tells you that kettlebells are useless and you can't build muscle with kettlebells, then they're just a complete liar. And, you know, get them 224s and get them doing double kettlebell front squats, double kettlebell front squat to press, and they will know about it. They will absolutely know about it. And it just fits perfectly with what I'm doing, because what I'm trying to do with you guys is get you out of that mindset that you need to drive to a gym, to walk onto a treadmill, to go onto a bloody ab cradle. You don't need any of that. And a lot of guys that have been in my plans have sort of tried to skimp and save, and I appreciate that, you know, when they buy their first kettlebell, because, you know, kettlebells can be quite pricey. But what I say to these guys is, look, you don't need a gym membership. You don't want to mess it, completely wreck your hands up by getting vinyl. You're going to be using these a lot. You know, get a decent quality competition or cast iron kettlebell and look at it as an investment. You're only going to pay once for it. Simple as that. I mean, my kettlebells, I've got a couple of 32s, 24s, 16s, and they're just the best thing. I just get out in my front yard with them and I just have so much fun and I get a bloody good workout. So at the top end, you know, when I've had guys be with me a while, how can I still challenge them without going to a gym? Well, I can offer them the use of two kettlebells, which, you know, builds strength, builds work capacity, and it builds a lot of skill, because using two kettlebells, you know, you're doing double kettlebell snatches or double kettlebell cleans and front squats. I'm telling you now that you need a lot of skill. You need a lot of core recruitment to be able to manage that. So guys, this is taking us up to 39 and a half minutes. Okay. I really hope this has been informative for you, giving you a little insight into how my workouts tailored for you over 30s men, how I hope to get you in the program and progress you through that, so you don't get injured, you progress naturally, you don't go off like a gun and injure yourself. Because let's be fair, you know, when you start any fitness program, you're all very, very keen. Very, very keen. And, you know, if that program is too hard for you, you're going to get injured. So my programs are what we call progressive, periodized, whatever you want to call it. So to ensure that you build strength, you build conditioning, you build fitness from a very, very basic level and taking you up to almost like an advanced elite level. I mean, guys, I've got 150 guys in my online members club now doing double kettlebell moves. They don't need to go to a gym, you know. Probably the most they've invested in those kettlebells is £100, maybe a little bit more if they've gone heavier. And I get my ass handed to me all the time. I do any challenge the coach workouts now. Some of these guys are so fit and so strong, they absolutely hand me my ass. I mean, the amount of times I've had to send out free t-shirts because they've beaten my time. And that's just a testament to the training, I think, you know, that I've given these guys. And the dedication they've put in on their end. So, guys, look, I'm going to wrap up now. If you are, you know, been sat on the fence about getting involved in one of our plans or coming to a boot camp, I hope that's really given you an insight. If you don't know about kettlebells, I may have lost you slightly there with all the jargon about kettlebell training. But just take a look at my website, www.30plusmensfitness.com, and you just check out the introduction to kettlebell training. And you'll see there the body weight moves, all the kettlebell moves. Like I said to you guys, I'm doing it for you guys. My aim is just to help as many over 30s men globally feel better than ever using my methods. We don't need to go to a gym. I've been off all week because the little one's been home and born, and I've just had some of the most amazing workouts in the yard. In the yard with just my body weight and just a kettlebell, just using what I know. Some of the most intense workouts, all in under 20 minutes. And, you know, I feel great. And I want to show you that. I want to show you guys that you don't have to complicate it, okay? So I'm going to finish up now. I'm going to try and push these podcasts out once a week, because now that my second child is here and everything's settled, I'm going to have the time to do that. I'm going to get some guests on. I can confirm that my first guest for the show will be Steve Robinson, ex-world champion boxer who's now 45 and a good friend of mine. He had a glittering career. We're going to talk about his training, his nutrition, how he stays ripped. Trust me, this guy is ripped in one of my forthcoming shows. So guys, if you could do me a favor, if you like this, please share it on your Facebook profile. You could leave me a rating or a comment, I'd be truly grateful. And if there's somebody like one of your friends or work colleagues that, you know, is always looking at your food and the type of training you're doing and going, oh, what's all that? Maybe you could just send them the way to my podcast and get them to have a listen and realize that why I'm doing this, and hopefully it'll enlighten them and maybe they'll jump on one of our plans and we just keep pushing this thing forward. You know, I've said before, it is a movement. We've got boot camps now springing up all over the UK and in the USA. And like I said to you, I'm just happy to be part of it, proud to be part of it. And the more people I can help, the more over 30s men I can help prolong their life and feel better, then I will be absolutely over the moon. So guys, once again, thanks for listening. Whatever you're doing, stay safe and make sure you get your training in. Make sure you keep eating clean. I'll speak to you very soon. Keep on trucking and have a great day.